Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 7. So we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. For you call, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we are constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Amen. All right. And so we are continuing on discussing kind of different parts or attributes of the fatherhood of God. And so today I'm going to talk about God, our Father, as our guide and our counselor. Right? In this passage here, we see that, you know, Paul and his partners here, they were stating this case. You know, in the key is in verse 12. It says, verse 11. But as you know, we were exhorting, encouraging, and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This is, I would say, one of the most important jobs as a father. You know, is because, you know, we have this picture, you know, in our mind that dads, especially older dads, are very, very wise. You know, it's this common picture that many people in the world, you know, in the church have, because, you know, it's said that once you get to an older age, you should be wise, right? You know, wisdom is, I guess, an easy way of translating wisdom. Wisdom is skill at living life. Right, it's not necessarily intellectualism, right? Because I know a lot of smart people that are really stupid, right? If you know what I mean. You know, I know a lot of people that went to very good colleges and did great on their SATs, and, you know, even have law degrees and whatnot. But when you try to talk to them about the world and about life, you find out that they're not very smart. You know, and so there's this, even in psychological, sociological circles, there's this debate about IQ and EQ, right? The emotional quotient. You know, there's a lot of books being written these days, and, you know, about this topic. And so we see, right? I think basically what the behavioral scientists are trying to say about EQ, we can just very easily translate that as talking about wisdom. Right, it's the skill at living life. You know, you may have been someone that, you know, that didn't do too well in school, you know, academically, but when it comes to living life, you know, we call it street smarts, you know, or these kind of things. And so that's what wisdom is, and wisdom is given by God as well. Right, there's a gift called the Word of Wisdom, you know, a spiritual gift, but it's also, you know, that we can ask God for wisdom, you know, and like James says, and he says he'll grant it to us. And so, you know, there's this aspect when we look at our fathers, right, that there should be this aspect that, you know, they should be ready to give a word of wisdom or some guidance into our lives. I mentioned this on Sunday, you know, and I'll repeat it again. I think for many of us, we really struggle with making decisions. You know, we really struggle with, you know, decisions about, you know, our relationships and about work. And, you know, I mean, we have a really difficult time making very key decisions in our life. And one of my hypotheses is because we never had that father figure in our life that would guide us. You know, we didn't have people that, you know, as we get older, you know, that we can go to our dads and ask, you know, their advice on things. You know, because they lived a full life, and, you know, and all these things, and I feel like a lot of times that there is this kind of vacuum, this father vacuum, you know, in our culture, in our society, in our churches. you know, of people that we can come to and get that really fatherly advice, you know. I mean, you know, honestly, I try, right? I'm not that much older than most people at church, right? But I have used this line many, many times, and I feel like it's pretty effective, you know, and it's not just a line, right? I just want you to know. You know, but when I have talked to people, especially in the area of relationships, you know, I mean, you know, I'll say this is, you know, I'll say, you know, as a father of two kids, if you're treating my daughter like this, as a father, I would not be very happy. That's when bad things happen, right? When good things happen, I say, you know, as a father of two kids, you know, how you're treating so-and-so, man, that really, you know, I hope that there'll be someone like you when my kids grow up to be a certain age. You know, and so even, you know, I mean, my kids are only 4 and 2, right, and stuff, but I'm already identifying with the wisdom of a father already, right? And because, you know, I mean, it carries some weight, you know what I mean? If I were to tell some guy, you know what, dude, you shouldn't really be doing that with your girlfriend, right? It's a statement. Hopefully, it's a powerful statement. But when I present it this way and say, you know what, as a father, if you're doing that to my daughter, I would beat the crap out of you, right? And I think they get the message a little better. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things, and it's that element as a father that I can bring into to the discussion. You know, and, you know, in the same way, you know, I mean, I talk to girls in the same way. It says, you know, if I was your dad, yes, I would be concerned, you know, that you're going on this trip by yourself. You know, if I was your dad, yeah, I would be concerned about this and that and that. You know, I mean, there's just this anointing, you know, as a father, but I think it's this wisdom thing. And a lot of us, I think we have such difficulty, you know, making decisions. And it's not that we don't make decisions, but getting to that decision, we go through hell. You know, I mean, I've walked with people through these processes, and I mean, they're just going through hell, you know, back and forth, and one day, and the next day changes, and over again. And I feel like, and this is not like the answer to everything, but I feel like a major key there is really this father issue, you know, that father as teacher and father as guide have been somewhat missing, you know, in our lives, right? There's just something about that. And I know that I experienced some of that, you know, and a lot of that is just cultural and language barrier, you know. My dad just doesn't speak English very well, and I just don't speak Korean very well, you know. How we lived, I have no idea. You know, even though my dad lived in the U.S. for 25 years, right, you know, and then eventually, you know, he had to learn another language, Russian, and stuff, so, you know, it becomes a whole different thing. But, you know, and so there could be barriers to that. It could be that your dads were just absent, you know, and as a result, you never had a teacher, you never had a guide, you know, never had someone to lead us and guide us and really teach us. And Paul, you know, in Thessalonians, he's basically saying, look, I exhorted you, I implored you, you know, in other words, you know, the modern language, you know, I guided you, I cared for you, I encouraged you, I taught you, you know, and this is, you know, and he says, just like a father would their own child. You know, and really, really, the sad thing is, for many of us, you know, growing up and, you know, and kind of the time that we grew up, you know, we didn't get that. You know, our dads were too busy working, you know, too busy partying, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, whatever story, you know, it is, you know, too distant, you know, language barrier, cultural barrier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they cease to be our guide and our teacher. And so what happens is a lot of people, you know, begin to look, you know, the academically, so they cling on to teachers. And some that are spiritual cling on to pastors. Let me tell you this as a pastor, that's too much, okay? That's just too much responsibility. You know, I remember when I was a youth pastor, I mean, I had very young men, you know, that, I mean, just looked up to me a little too much, and it makes you very uncomfortable because you know you can never live up to it. You know, I remember having students come up to me and says, oh, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, I'm more afraid of you than I am my dad, right? You know, and they meant it as a compliment, you know, but I took it as an insult, you know, just saying that's just too much responsibility, bro. You know, at some point I'm going to fail you, right? And so don't put me up on any pedestal whatsoever, all right? Because it's just not healthy. You know, but we tend to do that, right? And you know, we'll latch on to figures of our life, and they'll be our guide, and they'll be our teacher. But see, but there's something significant about your own parents as your guide, because they're your own. You know, and I mean, I'm involved in situations right now where, you know, people have latched on to other people's opinions, which is contradictory to their parents' opinions, and it's created a huge mess, you know. And I would say in these particular instances, the parents are right. But the parents were never their guide growing up, and so they latched on to someone else. And, you know, I mean, you know, we see these things kind of happening. But our Lord, He is our Father, and He is our guide, right? And we may not have experienced that, you know, in our earthly lives, you know, in such a way, right? But you can experience it with Father God, because He is our teacher, He is our guide. Everyone that took a GIC, right, you should know this by heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You know, it's God as our teacher, right? It's God as our guide. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. You know, He'll take us every step of the way. I try. I'm not successful every day, but this is a goal of mine. I try to read one chapter of Proverbs every day. You know, 31 chapters in Proverbs, 31 days. I mean, some months, right, and stuff. And so I've tried to make this a habit since, gosh, I don't know how long, years and years ago. You know, and so I really enjoy the book of Proverbs, and a few passages I just picked out. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will prevail. Right? And you see, you know, this I mean, what assurance? You know, I mean, those verses really, really assure me. You know, because I've got a lot of plans. I've got a lot of ideas, right? I mean, that's who I am, right? I got a lot of vision, all these different things. And how comforting to know that even though I've got a million ideas, that God, my Father, will direct my steps. There's a verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm is also another beautiful book, right? The book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, you know, get the exact verse 105, right? Psalm is one of the largest. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter, right, in the whole book of Psalm. And he says, and we sing songs about this, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, I mean, you know, this old, you know, song, you know, that we've sung. But that scripture actually is so profound, you know, that when you actually break it down, especially in Hebrew, it really is beautiful. The word actually, what it says is, you know, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Okay, we can see. Okay, so God, you know, is lights my path, right? I mean, that's what He does. So in other words, He leads me step by step. I mean, it sounds just like the Proverbs passage, so we can understand that. The Hebrew word actually is the word dabar. What dabar means, it's a very powerful word, and what it literally means, it means that He arranges every step. Okay, so now think about this. God is not just lighting the way. You know, he's not like the, you know, the guy at the movie theater with the flashlight, right, that takes you to your seat when it's dark. He's not just lighting your way. What the passage is saying, that God is actually arranging every step. It would be like the usher that actually is on his hands and knees taking your foot and placing it on every step. That's what it's like. He arranges, that's a better translation, He arranges every step. In other words, right, He has a master plan. He knows where the road is. He knows what step you shall take, when you shall take that step. Right, I mean, that's a big one, right? I mean, the issue of timing is huge, right? And He does it. He says He arranges every step. God, our Father, is our teacher, and He is our guide, right? He's the one that leads us in whichever direction that we need to be led. And our Father does that in our life. You know, what many of us have missed, you know, in our earthly lives, right? God the Father makes up for us, not just in the life to come, but in this life. Because he will be, you know, there's that phrase, you know, I'm sure you've heard it. He says, I am the father of the fatherless, right? Now, do you think God was just talking about orphans? You know, I mean, do you think that his scope was just people who had their parents killed or whatnot? No. He's talking about orphans in a spiritual sense more than anything else. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of us, we are orphans. You know, sure, our dads are there. And I'm not trying to paint a bad picture of our fathers, right? You know, I'm just trying to paint a picture, that's all. You know, there's not extra commentary going in there. You know, but I know the experience of many of us, you know, in our generation, in the way that we've grown up, you know, that most of our dads were absentee, right? I mean, they were living at home, you know, and they were there, but, you know, but they weren't home. You know, as my dad will say, his a few English phrases that he's mastered, right? Lights are on, but nobody's home, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, that's basically, you know, they're home, but they're not really home, you know, kind of idea and things. And he says, I'm the father of the fatherless. You know, and I've seen this in ministry. You know, I've been in ministry for over 18 years now. I've seen it time and time again that there seems to be an extra grace, you know, or an extra anointing or something a little extra from God that reaches out to those that are orphaned. You know, it seems, you know, like when Jesus turns to the woman caught in adultery, you know, and, you know, she comes back and, you know, pours the perfume over him and weeps at his feet. You know, remember he turns to the Jewish leaders and he says, you know, he who is forgiven much loves much. He who is forgiven little loves little. You know, and he's just making a comparison there. And I think using that same kind of formula, I think for many times when people are orphaned in that way, you know, spiritually or physically or, you know, or whatever it may be, I think the fullness of God comes even more into our lives. You know, that because of brokenness, I think God knows where the broken areas are, and he comes in like a flood. You know, it's like, look at it this way, right? The devil, he's a master, right, at, you know, at taking trauma and pouncing on it. You know what I mean? The devil will use, you know, even the littlest trauma in your lives, and he will come in like a roaring lion, and he will, you know, capitalize on that and take advantage of that trauma, right? And so the devil operates in that way. The Father, he will look at trauma, he will look at brokenness, and he will come, right, with wings, you know, of love, you know, I should say with love, with healing in its wings, and he will come to bring that grace and that healing. You know, I mean, it's just such a natural thing that happens, right? And so when we think about that, right, and if we have experienced this, man, you know, sure, what a horrible thing to have endured in our lifetime, right, in our growing up. But then at the same time, get ready for the Father of Light to come in his fullness and be the father of the fatherless. Right, one of the main roles, and especially the guys that are sitting here today, man, I implore you, right, that you become good fathers, you know, that, and not just when the kids are small, right, and obviously like for Jeremy, I guess it's just Jeremy and myself here, right, and you know our kids are small, right, but you know when they're gonna really need us is as they get older, you know that I mean you know just. I hope that God endows me with enough wisdom, right, that when it comes time for my daughter to ask me the big questions, right, that there'll be grace to answer. You know, I mean, I'm still working my gospel presentation for my kids, right? You know, it's still in the works, you know. It's I mean, obviously I know how to share the gospel, you know, but I just want to be ready when Elise, you know, asks me. Right, so, I mean, she believes in God and Jesus right now, right? But as a kid, you know, it becomes different when they believe as an adult. What happens a lot of times, parents, right, you know, because kids grew up in Sunday school and blah, 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 right, that they don't prepare for them to ask questions as adults, you know, and so they still answer like kids, you know. Oh, you know, what's Noah's flood? It's in the Bible. Just leave me alone. You know, how about this? Well, the Bible says so. That's okay for a kid. That's not okay for an adult, You know, and so we need to be ready and equipped in that way. That's the last passage I want to look at is Matthew chapter 11. So funny, it seems like the devotionals get longer and longer every day. But I'll close with this. Matthew chapter 11. Right? He is our teacher and he is our guide. 11:28. You should all memorize this by now, right? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Right? He is our guide. He is our teacher. Right? He says, come. I mean, don't you love those words? Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know, I hope that all of us as parents and as future parents, right, that this could be something that we can utter our kids. You know, Elise, Emma, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know, let me lead you, let me guide you, right, in all the travails of your life. Let's close our eyes today. To exhort, to implore, to teach. Just as a father would his own children. Yesterday we experienced the love of God the Father, the Father's love. Today it's the Father's hand. Right? God just stretches out that hand to us. And all you have to do is hold on. And you'll be safe. You know, when we're out around the city, my kids love to hold my hands. You know, a lot of cars, a lot of traffic, a lot of people, you know, and, you know, they're kind of moving around and whatnot, but when they're holding daddy's hand, everything is safe. And I'm guiding them through, I'm making sure they don't get hurt. You know, if I'm in, you know, cars driving by, I make sure that I'm the one closest to the car, not my kid. I'll always put them in the inside lane. And I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children. How much more will my Heavenly Father give to those who ask? And God the Father wants to be your guide. He wants to direct your steps. He wants you to receive his wisdom, his answer for your questions. Remember, he tells the people through Isaiah, he says, come, let us reason together. He's not offended by our questions. He welcomes them all. Because he's our Father. Because he's our teacher and he's our guide. He will lead us and he will feed us. And so as Hannah leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that. And let's give ourselves over to our Father, our guide and our teacher.
In his hands. each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls.
Let's pray for our community, and let's pray for our church and our families around us, and let's pray especially in this whole issue of guidance. And you know, let's pray that if you know people that are making decisions, right, that God the Father would come and be their guide. They wouldn't have to wrestle and struggle as much as they just really lean upon the Father. Let's pray also for healing as well. You know, for many people going through father issues and maybe didn't receive what they needed to as they were growing up, or even maybe even now, that relationships are so estranged and so weird and funky. Let's pray for healing to come in those ways, that their earthly fathers could also become their guides and their teachers. Let's pray for such restoration of relationships in that way. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Kennedy Roadhouse Church and Conduit Road and Pacific Place. And let's pray the presence of God would come over these house churches and our leaders, and that would just really just be so intimate, so close to God, that they would lead and guide with the Father heart. Let's just lift up our times tonight. Let's lift up the ministries at church and pray especially for the leaders, right? Let's pray for the intercessory prayer team and lift up GA as she leads. Let's pray for Cascade, the inner healing team, and pray for Becky and Samantha and Sophia. Let's pray for the welcoming, right? Sujin and Soyeon. Let's pray for the worship teams and the worship leaders, Pastor Nate and Chris and Samantha and the whole team, and for men's and women's ministries, for Janie, and we're still yet to pick our men's leader. But let's just lift up all the different ministries at church and all the things that our brothers and sisters do in their service to God. And let's pray that everyone that serves would serve with a glad heart and with joy, and that God would just be so pleased with our hearts as a church in that way. So it's lifted up by these ministers and these ministries to the Lord. As a mission focus, if we could pray over two different situations. Right now, the Fujian team has kind of had to refocus a little bit. There's a lot of flooding, apparently, in the province. And so much so that they've actually had to, Zhengsheng Associate has had to cancel their basketball tournament and their outreach and whatnot. And I heard it's pretty bad. We're not hearing anything from the government. Because, you know, obviously they like to keep a lot of these things secret. But apparently there's a lot of really bad flooding during this time. And so let's lift up the province and the people, especially at the orphanage. I think they're having a lot of problems because of this flooding. And also, you know, one of my original pastors, who's now a missionary in Mexico, he works in this area that's been getting really hit a lot by the drug cartels. And one of his students, who runs a drug rehab center, some of the mafia came in and killed about 19 people. I mean, just murdered them. And so they run 5 clinics, and everyone's out. And it's a very devious strategy. They basically want the drug addicts back. And I mean, the devil is definitely, Mexico is in huge trouble right now. And so he just asked for prayer. And so let's pray for Fujian. Let's pray for Chihuahua, Mexico. And, you know, this drug problem that's happening there is just monstrous, you know, and something needs to happen. God must intervene. And so let's just intercede on behalf of the Mexicans. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you are our Father, God, that you are the Father of the fatherless, Lord, and that you, your heart, God, is to lead us, is to guide us, is to share your wisdom with us, to teach us, God. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to your leadership, God. We submit ourselves, God, to your rulership, God, to your wisdom. And so would you help us, Lord, especially many of us, God, that are making decisions. Lord, help us not to operate out of worldly wisdom, God, but out of the wisdom of God. And so, Lord, we just ask that the Father heart would come and minister to us, Lord. Bring healing, God, in your wings. We thank you. Watch over us this day. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.